In telling our story, really, I first want to give thanks to God because he gave wisdom that I just don't have. Coming out of the world, I knew very little about relationships, and he kept me from a lot of dangerous situations. So, like you said, it really is his story. It started a bit before we got to Ouachita Hills College. I had gone to the Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism, and there I saw the principle of relationships played out. That principle was really, you don't get into them while you're in school. It's not to be mean, it's so that you can focus on the education and the growth. And if you're distracted by a relationship, well, you're not going to learn as much because your mind is on the other person in the middle of class. And so at AFCO, there was 4 relationships that happened during that 4 months. The 2 that decided to put it off and just say, let's take care of this afterwards, both of them are happily married today. The 2 that decided to go forward, even though they were still in school, both of them broke up, and not nicely. So that's, I'm not saying that happens every time, but it played itself out very obviously. So knowing the council about school and relationships, when I first got to Ouachita Hills College, my mindset was, I'm not going to touch it the whole time that I'm here. I'm not going to pursue anyone. I'm not going to look for anyone. And I found that gave me a lot of freedom, because in my past life, whenever you knew a lady, it was for the purpose of, well, are you going to marry them or not? But with that pressure off, it was really opportunity to be friends, get to know them better, and proved to be a blessing because I ended up having a lot of good lady friends, and not romantic ones, just people I could cooperate and share with. That was good. The education at Ouachita was excellent. What I really saw as part of it was a growing desire to do mission work, which is something I had never considered before. There was one day in church during a Sabbath school where they gave a mission story, and this lady was on video. They were teaching people how to read in a Hispanic village. And the lady said, I feel like a person. Like, before she knew how to read, she couldn't understand signs or labels. And something as simple as reading changed her life. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Maybe I could do something like that. And me as a teacher, you know, the idea is, it seems like a good idea to start a school someday or help to start one. And thinking about trying to start a school in the United States, it's like you deal with this expenses as well as the regulations. The thought came to me one day, you know, it'd just be a lot easier to go to a foreign country and do this. So that really started a desire to do mission work.
Well, I came to Ouachita Hills. I definitely believe that God was leading me there. After a few years of earnestly seeking what he wanted me to do, he made it clear to me that he wanted me to be there. I had a real desire to get the training I needed to do more of his work and to know how to do it better. And I also was looking for a higher standard for my life. In the years just before that, I'd seen several of my friends really let go of the faith they grew up with. And as a result, they were finding themselves in very difficult situations. I knew I didn't want to follow their example, but having grown up in similar situations to many of them, I didn't really know what chance I had. So, in a sense, I was desperate to find something better because I knew that God had something better to offer. And so my experience in college was a very beautiful experience because, like Jensen, I believe that God's will for me in college was to take every opportunity to gain the preparation I could to do his work. And so God blessed with teachers and with friendships that I'm quite sure I wouldn't have been able to get elsewhere.
So I was there for about a semester before Janita came, and by the time she came, I was quite a happy person, really enjoying college life, enjoying my friends, enjoying canvassing. And one day, walking near the cafeteria, I see Janita. It's like, oh, I've never seen this person before. And the thing was, so happy, it's like, I don't really need to know anyone else at this point. So I basically didn't talk to her for like the first week she was there. It's like, no interest. What I noticed is that during that week, whenever she'd be talking to someone, she was very happy. And of course, now I understand why. She was happy to be back at school after her absence. But she'd be laughing with someone in the cafeteria, or she'd be, you know, excitedly talking with someone. And I'd see her walk, and she'd be walking briskly to one place or another, and just struck me as a very lively person. So that, it encouraged me to get to meet her for the first time. So one breakfast, sat next to her, said, hi, my name is Jensen, and ended up talking, and yeah, we had some things in common. So, but I found I had a new friend. As I got to know her better, I like to watch people. Like, it's fun to see who people are on the inside, because, I mean, outside says one thing, but it's fun to analyze just who these people are, what are they interested in, what makes them tick. And so as I watched Janita, she was quite different from many others. There was a lot of godly ladies there, certainly while I was there. And so it wasn't like, you know, anyone else was wicked or anything like that. She was different. Again, just the constant cheer when speaking with others and her sociability. During the first canvassing program together, I was one of her canvassing leaders. And it was on a cold, rainy day in Chicago. It's like 35 degrees Fahrenheit. It's raining, so, you know, it's chilly. You want your people indoors. And so there was about a 20-story office building all by itself, and Janita was the only person in my van. And so I asked her, Janita, go ahead, go to this building. Let me know when you're done. She's like, okay. She hops out of the van and starts marching towards the building. And I drive the van around, make a U-turn to exit the parking lot. And as I do, I see Janita still marching forward, and this brisk wind just hits her right in the face. I mean, it almost looks like she's going to be like swept backwards, you know. And she just closed her eyes, marched straight ahead, right into the building. I'm thinking, wow, this girl is tough. And adding to that is 5 minutes later, she got kicked out. And so, you know, one would think, well, this huge building, I just got kicked out in 5 minutes. Woe is me. She hops in the van, says absolutely nothing. She's like, okay, next one. That impressed me too, that she could deal with difficulties like that. At the nighttime, the guys and the ladies were in two separate houses. And so we would have prayer together in the men's house, which meant the ladies had to come over. Now there's snow on the ground and it's kind of chilly. Janita was the only one that would come over every night for prayer. In fact, there were some nights she was, yeah, the only lady there besides us guys. And that caught my attention. You know, she really cares about spiritual things, even despite outside difficulties. I noticed she had a love for animals, when, you know, shows that she has a kind heart. And it's not like I was deliberately looking for these things, but over time, these qualities surfaced. Adding to that was God's leading. He would put us together quite frequently. For example, we're going to a canvassing program, and I was one of the drivers And they were assigning students to the different vans. We happened to be driving at least in the same direction. And Janita was in another van. I'm like, oh, this is good. At that point, I was worried about getting too close to her because we had interacted so well. And like I said, I didn't want to be in a relationship. So it's like, I better keep my distance. I could tell that, you know, she was an exceptional lady. And we're about to leave. And all of a sudden, someone comes to the van and is like, wait, we need to switch someone. And I'm thinking, I hope this is not going where I think this is going. So out hops the person in the front passenger seat next to me, and in hops Janita. And so we got to share a 6 or 7 hour car ride together. This wasn't a one-time thing. This happened repeatedly. And again, I was trying to keep my distance, and yet we kept on being put together. But again, because of the standards that I was convicted of, I knew that I did not want this to progress. And so I did my best to keep a safe distance and not try and start anything, really not even try to let her know anything. I mean, if God's in control of this, he knows how to put two people together. He doesn't really need my help. And if he's going to make it work, it's going to work no matter what, you know, even if there's circumstances in the way. So I was happy just to let things go.
As Jensen mentioned, my college experience was divided into two parts. And between those two parts, I had a lot of time to think about what God had been doing in my life and to really surrender myself more completely to him. So especially during my last 3 years in college, I was able to really take advantage of what God wanted to teach me. I really thoroughly enjoyed the mission training that I received. As Jensen mentioned, we were in several canvassing programs together. And in programs like that, the students have opportunity to work quite closely together. I mean, you see everyone every morning, you see them at worships, you see them in work, you see them having bad days. And as a result of those programs, I got some quite close friendships. And I really appreciated those because godly friends help us in many ways. But naturally, as any college student, towards the end of my experience, I began wondering, you know, what God had in store for me or where specifically he was leading me. And that last fall, I took a class called Adventist Heritage and Mission, which really focused on how God led the founders of our church and really what our mission is as young people in this generation. And I felt myself almost strangely developing this strong desire to do mission work. It had always been my dream to go as a missionary and teach in some other country. But the way my visa situation was at that time, it seemed to be a better idea for me to stay in US and get permanent residency. But here these desires start coming as I'm sitting in class. Shortly after that, I was able to talk with a young man who had just come back from Africa. As we were riding in the vehicle with a group of other students, he shared mission story after mission story after mission story. And again, this thought came across my mind. You know, I'm just being drawn to this. I don't know if I'm just being gullible or what. A few weeks later, I began my student teaching in Wildwood, Georgia, which was another very beautiful experience. And when I first arrived there, one thing that struck me was I seemed to have a lot of free time. Commenting on this to a friend, she told me, "You know what, Janita? I think you need it." Looking back, I definitely did. Because now I was at a point where in just a few short months, I would be out on my own. I would be graduated from college. I would be likely not with as many friends as I had been used to having. And I began to wonder, Lord, what do you have for me? Who do you have for me? And just about that time, through several providences, God brought my attention to a school in Honduras. And one of my friends really strongly recommended that I go there. Now, at this time, I was not looking for an opportunity to go to a foreign country as a missionary, but it was just brought to my attention. In fact, several people in the same day mentioned it to me, to the point where I was feeling a bit overwhelmed. And it was a bit exciting because, well, I liked the idea of mission work, but I was afraid of being carried away by emotions. So I went back and I spent several days praying. But this impression of this opportunity didn't go away. At first I thought, well, how can I? What about all the things that I want to do? What about my residency? What about my future? What about my work? You know, how can I just let this go? But I was really strongly impressed that God deserved my best. And since he had worked so many miracles to give me the training that he had, that to spend this time in mission service was the least that I could give him. And so even though it meant turning down another job opportunity, I was able to take the step out in faith and contact the ministry. And a few short months later, I got the response that I was accepted and that I would be going there right after my graduation. I have to say this was one of the happiest moments in my life because I knew that I'd surrendered to God. I knew that there was nothing between me and him. And I really didn't care about the future. I really didn't care if I was alone or not or who I had with me because I knew at that moment that God was very close to me and that he was going to provide for me.
So back up a bit from where we are now. I had made the decision about a year and a half before, while we're still in school, that once school is over, I would like to court Janita because I've seen all these wonderful things. I'm seeing God leading. And even after that decision, I would see God lead. For example, getting her parents' phone number. What had happened, because her brothers love jokes and pranks and things like that. So I knew if I asked any of them for her parents' number, she would know within days. Or they would tease her about it for the next year or so. So I didn't want to ask them, but it's like, well, how am I going to get this number? We were coming back from a canvassing program. This is about 6 months before Janita's decision to go to mission work. And Janita's phone is dead. Of course, we're both in the front talking again, go figure. And so I get a text on my phone from her brother saying, is Janita there? And it's like, well, she's right next to me. So I hand her my phone and her brother calls my phone and then her dad gets on the phone. It's like, wait a minute, this is not their cell phone. This is their parents' house phone. So basically God dropped their number right into my lap. So after the journey was over, I went to my phone, I saved their parents' phone number and kept hold of it for another 6 months. And so I could see Providence as leading this direction. And again, the character qualities and all these different things were adding up. At this time, I was in North Dakota on my teaching practicum, just like she was. And on Facebook, I see a message saying that she was trying to make a major decision and to send her a message if we wanted details. So I sent her a message. Hi, Janita. Just curious, what type of decision are you trying to make? And she said that she was trying to decide about mission work. And my first thought is, how are we going to have a relationship if she's going to the mission field? God had been my helper before. So that night I went into prayer. And basically I was praying, walking around the room, reading my Bible, seeing if there's any counsel in there. Eventually, I don't remember the verse, and I wish I did, but a verse impressed itself on my mind, and it basically amounted to, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. It's like, okay, I will do that. So I didn't say anything. And a few days later, Janita announces that she has decided to serve as a missionary. And now I'm thinking, well, so much for the relationship. If she's going somewhere else, how are we going to be together? That doesn't work. So that night, I went back to prayer. Again, same thing, reading the Bible, asking God for guidance, and spent, I wouldn't say about an hour or two, just looking through. And what God consistently brought to my mind were verses that rebuked me for unbelief. In fact, three of them. Afterwards, he brought me to a verse. It's in, I want to say, Isaiah 34. It basically says, search the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. For my word has said it, and my spirit has gathered them. Basically, the relationship's going to work because I said so. What really came to mind was Abraham's experience with Isaac, because Isaac was promised to be the heir, and then he says, kill your son. It's like, well, if I kill my son, how can he have children? Or, you know, it's two seemingly contradictory things. Abraham's solution was to believe both of them, even when it seemed impossible. And that turned out to be correct. Abraham was tested that way, and Jesus came through Isaac. It's like, well, I think I'm in a similar situation. She's going to mission work, but God is saying our relationship's going to work. Both must be true. So from then, I had been studying about another issue with a student in the canvassing program. I came across a testimony which changed my thinking about how to approach the relationship, how to start it. It basically said, you talk to the parents first. I was reading that, and it's like, wait a minute. I shouldn't tell Janita first. I need to tell her parents first. What was very convenient is two things. One, my teaching was in North Dakota. It was probably the closest possible place I could be to their farm up in Saskatchewan, about 9 hours away. Compare that to Arkansas, where it's about 25 hours away. And two was that I had a 5-day weekend coming up. And so, you know, if I was going to visit their parents, the long weekend was a good time. So took the phone number, called them up, and I let them know my intentions. I'm interested in your daughter more than as a friend. Her dad's like, that's wonderful. And then I asked them, you know, I don't want to impose, you know, because you hardly know me, but would you mind if I spent a few days with you? Because you don't really know me, and, you know, if I'm going to be with your daughter, you need to get to know me better. He loved the idea. So made the 9-hour trip to Canada. Within 10 minutes, he was a very wise father. He put me to work on his farm. You know, figure after a 9-hour drive, I'd be tired, but nope. Time to get to work. And he used that few days to really evaluate me, figure out, you know, is this guy hardworking? And so he had me hauling batteries from tractors, talking with me about my ideals and my relationship with God, how we, Janita and I, knew each other. A very good father that way. And so after a few days, we had a very long car ride. He asked me some questions, and he's like, okay, you have my blessing. And so we determined to talk to Janita in the following days.
So back to where I'd left off before. I was still on my student teaching down in Georgia. And I was very busily planning to go to the mission field. We were looking at airplane tickets. It was springtime. There was a lot of pollen, so I wasn't feeling so great. In fact, that day I had just gotten back from a school field trip, and all I wanted was just to get some sleep. I was coughing and sneezing. But as soon as I got in, a message popped up on my phone from my parents saying that they needed to talk to me. And I said, sure, you know, I'll call you as soon as I can. They said, no, can we call you? I said, all right. And so the phone rang, I answered it, but it was Jensen. I immediately recognized his voice, but the thought comes to my mind, well, why is he calling me from there? Really, in the back of my mind, it's like, well, what else could this be? But at the same time, I was so surprised, I didn't really know what to say. And I'm sure it was, it was a very surprising moment for me, and I'm sure kind of awkward one for Jensen. But he asked me for my thoughts, and he told me his intentions, and asked me if I would join him in seeking God's will for our lives, and if God would want us to get married in the future. I have to say, it was a very new idea for me. You may have wondered why up till this point I haven't mentioned anything about my interest in Jensen. God worked in a very interesting way in my case. That although I had many close friends, during the whole 3 years that we knew each other in college, even though we were good friends, we worked together a lot, I didn't really see God leading toward a relationship. In that sense, God kept me blissfully ignorant. But here he was asking me if I would agree to be in a relationship with him. So my thoughts began to go back over the years and the times we had spent together and how God had given us so much opportunity to see each other's strengths and weaknesses, to see each other's character. And I could already see that God had given me a respect for Jensen and for the qualities that he had. I noticed that he was very faithful in the small things. He was very patient. He was very willing to help if someone needed help. He was trustworthy. He was a very logical person and he studied a lot. And so I knew the very fact that he was asking me meant that he had done a lot of studying and praying beforehand. I could see that most of all, he loved God a lot and was doing his best to serve him. He had many strong areas where I was weak. And I had always wanted someone who was patient enough to work with me, yet had the qualities to challenge me and help me to improve beyond what I was. So it seemed too good to be true. But was it? I began to think back. Well, you know, I just made a commitment to go to the mission field for over a year. What does Jensen think about that? So even though this whole idea of a new relationship was exciting, I knew that I had just made a commitment to God and that I couldn't leave it.
So, we didn't talk very much right then, as she said. It was very awkward for me. I'm glad her parents did most of the talking and not me. But it was a good time to think and pray. But I knew that Janita and I needed to talk because we hadn't talked about the possibility of a relationship at all during this time. There were a lot of things that she didn't know, like, well, how did I see God later? How did I get to this point? And so on the way back from her parents' place, going back to school, we had a five-hour phone conversation. It is the longest phone conversation I've ever had. And I knew, again, God must give wisdom with these things. Telling her about my feelings wasn't going to amount to anything to her, because lots of people have feelings. And lots of people are misled by their feelings. What was important was to tell her what evidences was there. So I told her about the qualities I'd seen in her, I told her the experiences that God had given me, things that she would say that no one else could know, and she didn't even realize that were on my mind, of just many, many different providences. Our shared goals, we're both teachers, we both had missionary aspirations, and yeah, just wanted to tell her, basically clear up a lot of the misinformation, whatever may have been. Also wanted to put an emphasis on communication, should we be together. She had said, you know, what did I think about that? Thankfully, God had already given the answer. You know, let her go to the mission field. It's going to work anyway. So it was very easy for me to say, go. Please, if God is leading you to the mission field, then that's where you need to be. Don't worry about me. At least needing to follow me. But if we were going to be in the relationship, then yes, let's talk. Also, something that was on my mind was not to be halfway about our commitment. If we were going to seek God's will through courtship, not to be like special friends until she came back. It's because I was worried that it could create a lot of pain and difficulty, uncertainty. Like, well, what if she found someone else while she's there? What if I found someone else while I'm there? I'm where I am. And, you know, despite the challenges, I told her, it's like, you know what? I'm going to commit to you until God shows otherwise. Not going to bother with anyone else. That way it would remove a lot of the potential pain and uncertainty. And praise God, she agreed.
So the fact that Jensen really saw God leading me to the mission field was really a huge sign to me, because now I didn't have to worry about if my relationship was going to pull me away from the mission field, which is something that I had committed to God when I committed to the mission field, that if God did have a relationship in mind for me, that it could not take me away from mission service, but that it would go along with it. So that was clear in my mind, but I still wanted to seek his will. Was this really the relationship he wanted me to be in? And that weekend, and even a little bit before, the long conversation we had on the phone, I found a quote from Adventist Home that really spoke to me. It says, "Let the question be raised, will this union help me heavenward? Will it increase my love for God? And will it enlarge my sphere of usefulness in this life? If these reflections present no drawback, then in the fear of God, move forward." That's Adventist Home 45, paragraph 2. Now, I had a lot more than three questions on my mind, and I wanted answers to all of them. But God said, if the answers to these are yes, go forward. I certainly couldn't argue with counsel that clear. So we began to talk. He would call me almost every day, and we would begin to discuss things. But what did we begin to discuss? One of the first things we did was begin to study the book Adventist Home together, because we knew that we both needed a lot of direction. We had seen direction, but we needed a lot more. We knew God was leading us forward, but just which direction was forward and how to do it.
Yeah, my background was quite different from Janita's. Even though I grew up knowing the truths, I grew up in a very worldly environment, you know, like video games and music I shouldn't be listening to and other such things. And not only that, my family had been through like three divorces. So I really didn't know what a family even should look like. I was so happy for Adventist Home. What was nice was it put out hard issues first, like, you know, what about children? What about, you know, your life work together? Are you moving the same direction that way? What about your families? Are your families respectable? And so instead of a relationship based on, you know, like feelings and I care so much about you, it was laying a good foundation for the future. Like, are we actually compatible? And do we have the same ideals? And it brought a lot of questions I never would have asked otherwise. One of my favorite things was about risk, where it says that you can never fully know someone before marriage. It's like, well, if I can't fully know someone before marriage, there's always some risk. It's never, even in courtship, there has to be some risk. It just seems like the object is to find out as much as you can about the other person without taking 10 years to do it. And if you see God leading, go forward. So that was really helpful to me. Not try and like protect myself too much, but to be reasonable about it.
So, as you may have gathered, we began our relationship long distance with Jensen in North Dakota and myself in Georgia. A month later, we both came back to college for our graduation. It was our first time seeing each other after we started our courtship, and also our last time seeing each other before I headed off to Honduras and Jensen to teach in Tennessee. So it was a very special time together. We had made quite some plans of things that we would like to do and places we'd like to go, people we would like to see during those 2 weeks that we'd spend together. But God had a lot to teach us about surrendering to Him even in small things. Actually, Jensen's car had some major mechanical issues just come up in that week. So most of our plans had to be put to the side, and we spent most of the time hiking, walking, working around campus, sitting and enjoying each other's company. It may not have exactly appealed to our doer natures. That is, our desire to really do things and actively work. But it taught us to depend on God, and it taught us not to form our relationship according to our own expectations, but to really allow God to work out His will and His providence.
It was nice because I wasn't certain about what to expect during courtship. And so yeah, we made all these plans and they failed, and we just enjoyed life together. And you know, that's what life really is. It's not about doing a whole bunch of major things, but lots and lots of little things done together. And that's what those 2 weeks really was. So we parted ways. She went to Honduras, I went to Tennessee.
And so he found himself in Tennessee and I found myself in Honduras. And of course, now that we were apart, the question came again, you know, just how was God leading us forward? We weren't going to be seeing each other for several months, so what to do in the meantime? One thing, we became very thankful for even 5-minute conversations. Many times our plans would change because I couldn't charge my phone, or there was no phone service, or it was pouring rain, I couldn't climb the mountain. I very quickly learned the danger of unrealistic expectations in our relationship, and also how important it is to focus on the positive and cherish the blessings to help keep our mindset. And I also saw that our relationship needed to be built on character and principle, not on whatever desires or feelings we had or didn't have at the moment. I learned, too, not to have the unrealistic expectation that our relationship was going to make me happy. Because there were still difficult moments and times when we couldn't communicate. And it was in those times that I really saw my need to depend on God. And I'm very thankful because I never, ever regretted my decision to serve in the mission field. It was a wonderful experience, and it not only grew me, but I know that it grew my relationship and our relationship. So during that time, we used our limited time to communicate, to study more in Adventist Home, since we weren't going to see each other for several months, and since we didn't know what was really happening after that, we couldn't go ahead and make wedding plans. So instead, we continued to share our experiences, to study principles of how to create a future home. And that's where God would continue to lead. During that time, God also showed me a lot of things in my character that needed to be changed. Because with the passing of time, with the lack of being able to see each other, In person, God had a lot of time to work on my character.
So in December, she came to Laurel Brook where I was teaching for 5 weeks. And of course, you can imagine, we're pretty happy about this. In prayer, by this point, I was pretty well convinced that Janita was the person God wanted me to spend the rest of my life with. I wasn't sure if she was convinced of that. But while praying, I was impressed. You know what? Ask her to marry you. It's like, okay, let's see what happens. I didn't want to put unreasonable pressure on her. So I guess you could say my proposal was boring and that I didn't prepare like a card or a party or anything like that. But I had good reason. I don't want to say manipulate, but I didn't want her to feel pressured to say yes for any other reason except that she was convinced it was a good idea. So I did as little pressuring as possible. So we went out, overlooked a mountain valley, and I told her, I have a question. Will you marry me? She thinks for a few moments, and then she starts giving reasons why it's not a good time. That she's going back to the mission field for a year, and you know, how could she commit if she's still there? She had unanswered questions. I was glad that I asked her. One, it let me know where she was at. Two, it let her know where I was at. And three, I found out she had really good reasons for not saying yes. And so I wasn't disappointed. Back when my mom heard about it, it's like, what? You weren't like upset? It's like, no, that was... After she explained it, it made a lot of sense. So I was glad that she gave me an honest answer. And, you know, and I knew that if God wants, again, if God wanted us to be together, I don't need to push the issue. He's working in her life just as surely as he's working in my life. And if he convinced me, he'll convince her. Just needed to wait.
So yes, it may have seemed like the strangest proposal ever. But as Jensen mentioned, it did make a lot of things more clear. It helped me see where Jensen was and where God was leading him in our relationship, and gave me the time as well as the motivation to really dig into it deeper myself. As Jensen mentioned, I did have a whole year left in the mission field, and I didn't feel that I wanted to be engaged for a whole year while I was very busy in the mission field and couldn't even really give a lot of time and effort to our relationship. So I went back to Honduras and began another very busy year.
So later on that year, in March, of all the places for my school to decide to do their mission trip, of all the countries, of all the locations, they decided to do their mission trip right where Janita was serving. It's like, wow, God is so good. I could not have arranged that if I had tried. So I got to go visit Janita in Honduras for free. Oh, okay, almost for free. Free enough. Now, I had never been, except for Canada, outside of the United States. And Canada, I guess you could say, doesn't count. It's so much like it. So this would be my first opportunity. And I had seen God leading towards mission service, but I wondered, what was this going to be like? Would I get horribly sick? Would I yearn for electricity? You know, would I miss hot showers? Although I hadn't had hot showers for 2 months thanks to a plumbing problem, but that's besides the point. When I got there, well, one, it was nice to see Janita at the airport. She surprised me. And it was wonderful. I mean, the so-called comforts of life, you hardly miss in here because it's so natural. I mean, yeah, you have to haul water every so often, but it's a good workout. Life moves at a slower pace. There's not as many distractions. In fact, you don't even really need the lights because the sun comes up at 5 a.m. and it sets at 6:30. And once it sets, your body tells you that it's time to sleep. So, really, the things that people typically miss, I didn't miss at all. It didn't even feel weird with the Hispanic culture. Hispanic culture is very inviting. And yeah, it's hard to understand the language. I didn't know it, but I didn't really feel out of place. It's like, you know what? I prefer to be here than the United States.
So backing up the story a little bit, back to when Jensen had first asked me if I'd married him, if I would marry him, one of the questions in my mind was if he would really feel God leading him to commit to mission work. Due to my experience the year before, the conviction was growing that God wanted me to be in mission work for longer than my initial commitment. And so, of course, I was wondering, is God leading Jensen to mission work or not? So, seeing how he enjoyed his time here so much, how easily he adapted to the culture, how much he enjoyed serving others, how cheerful he was and not complaining about having to haul water from the creek or having to deal with mosquitoes or get all muddy in his work. I realized that if God called him to be a missionary, he would be a missionary. In the following weeks after the mission trip, I began to pray more because I didn't want to play with time. I didn't want to play with Jensen's heart either because I knew that he was sincere and I knew that he already had told me his intentions. And I wanted to be honest with him too. Through a series of providences, such as sermons, counseling with friends, spending time with God myself, I saw that God wanted me to move forward and that it was time for us to move forward in our relationship. So I began writing Jensen a letter, which told more of mission work and such things, and I sent it off to him. Well, very shortly after that, I got sick. And during that time I was sick, I was able to reflect and think more. And one of those thoughts that popped into my mind was, you know, I wonder if Jensen is going to ask me to marry him again. I hope he does. Another thought came right after that, said, well, he already did ask. He's still waiting for your answer. Which led me to think, you know, I really need to write Jensen another letter. Because I don't think the last letter was clear enough that he could have understood where I was really coming from. So, a week later, even a little bit less, Jensen received another 17-page letter in which I told him many things that were on my heart and mind.
Of course, I enjoy getting mail from Janita, especially handwritten letters sent by picture. Yeah, if you have a hard time sending things from the mission field, iMessage is a great way to do it. So, anyway, I read the photographs, and near the end, it had a sentence that went along the lines of, there's uncertainty, but yeah, in past conversations and times we spent together, you may have sensed my hesitation and uncertainty about moving forward in the direction of marriage. And I think it's only fair for me to tell you that God had put my mind and heart at peace. As I see what God is doing in our own lives, I know that if He chooses to unite us for life, it will be the happiest life either of us could ask for. I read that, finished the letter, went back to that paragraph, and I'm thinking, does that mean we're engaged? So I call up Janita and I ask her, it's like, are we engaged? She pauses for a moment. She's like, yes. So, of course, you could imagine we're quite happy about this. Interestingly enough, engagement didn't change a whole lot. We still spent this time doing the same things we did during courtship, reading together, talking together. We got to spend a week together on our parents' farm, and it was much the same as when we were together in college or in Honduras or at the school during Christmas. We spent time taking walks, we worked together, we discussed different issues, and I could really see how the way that we approached courtship laid the foundation for future life. I mean, even now that we're married, we do much the same things. We still study together. We still spend lots of time together. We still work together whenever possible, discuss things and talk about how God has blessed our lives. And I was really happy we laid that foundation. If we had tried to rush ahead, part of our engagement and marriage would have been trying to figure out, what do we do together?
So one of the questions that naturally came up during the months of separation as well, you know, how is it going to be when we're actually together? You know, will we really work well together? Will we really enjoy being together? Is it going to be enjoyable for both of us? But looking back, I can see that what God puts together is the best thing. He led us to build a foundation that truly, even though we did not know everything about each other, when God chose to unite our lives together, He helped us to build a foundation that we had the tools we needed to make it work. And as Jensen said, I'm very thankful for the foundation that He led us to build, because we are still building on it, and we know it's the best place to be. Because when God builds something, He builds it well.
Amen. I would say, just to close, for anyone that's listening, our experience has really shown, follow what God says, even if it seems crazy. I mean, it seems weird not to try and start a relationship or at least get someone emotionally attached to you while you're in school. But that was God's counsel, is don't do that. Wait. And I waited and it worked great. In fact, I think if I had tried to do something earlier, Janita had the same convictions and that would have ended badly. Not to mention the tension while we're in school. That would be awful. And then about letting Janita go to the mission field, you know, that's not something I would naturally do. And I was very glad for the responses I got from God to let Him do that. And again, He's capable of bringing two people together. It seemed crazy, but it's like, okay, this is going to work. God's doing it. And it did. It worked wonderfully. In fact, I would say the distance helped us because we were able to discuss and build a good foundation before having to worry about anything physical. In fact, that was one thing we set in our courtship. We avoided the physical contact except for like a friendly hug or things like that, just to avoid excess emotional attachment. There'd be enough of that. But yeah, find out what God says to do and follow it. It works.
What I would say is what I learned from the experience is the bottom line is surrender to God. It makes everything else much easier. Don't wait for your feelings. Don't let them interfere with where you know God is leading. Because in many cases, feelings are the last thing to come. But if you're surrendered to God, you don't need to worry about what the future is. You don't need to worry about where He will lead you. You can trust that it is going to be the very best for you. And if you allow Him to lead you and to bring it about, He will give you the very best.